Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Win it now!
Off and rolling on a Monday. Hour number one in the books. Lickety split. Went by so fast. So much to react to. So much going on right now, Phil.
A lot, man.
So much going on.
Can't wrap my head around it. I feel like your gift. Just having a mental breakdown.
Oh, dude. And that's where we led with in hour number one with Nuggets and Avs. And we're just a couple days away from the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Where everything is going to be on the line. Yes, playoffs.
Finally, man. A little bit more excitement.
Yeah.
Win and you're in.
Yeah, dude. It's survival right now for both teams. One seems to be in survival mode, or will be in survival mode a little bit more here, especially in the first round, than the other. And, of course, we're talking about the Avs for reasons we discussed in hour number one and we'll circle back to here in just a couple minutes. But we have a new mock draft out from ESPN, and it is a three-round mock.
Okay.
And it's the duties were split between two guys we have a lot of respect for. That's Mel Kiper Jr. and Field Yates. All right, so they predicted the top 100 picks in the draft. Broncos have a couple of them in there. We'll circle back to that here during this segment. But before we do that, you know, they say those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. It's like you should know history just in general, not all the, you know, deep in the weeds nuances, but man, how could something like that happened in Germany in 1939?
Yeah.
How could it happen? And, you know, I think stuff like that's important. But with the Broncos, in a far less serious than stuff like that, it's like, how did we get here? How did we get here? How did the Broncos get to a point where they have the worst stretch in their NFL history?
Man.
They're in a full-blown rebuild for the first time maybe ever. And it's a tipping point in 10 days where if they don't get this draft, if they don't start to get things right, the Broncos will be of the lowest tier in the NFL, not in terms of big picture history.
Yeah.
But the here and now, that's where we're at.
When I think of that question that you said, how did we get here? And that's a heavy one. It hits because it's like you're thinking about it. You're like, dang, how did we get here, right? Like, years go by, days go by, months go by, and all of a sudden you look up and you're not in a good place.
Yeah.
And that's just like with a business, right? If a business is not doing well, it doesn't start out like that.
Right.
It looks good.
Right.
Then 5 years go by and you're kind of driving by the business and it has graffiti on the walls and, you know, it has a one star on the DoorDash thing. And you're like, how did it get there when it started and it looked so pretty and it looked like it was going to be there for a while and now it's just ran down?
Yeah.
Where does that start? You know, and what's the first thing that goes in my head is the ownership of that building, the ownership of who's running that joint, right? Who's running that food joint?
That's
who's
good.
Who's running that store with the clothing? Who's in charge? That's the same thing with the Denver Broncos, Zach.
Man, that is really good. That is really good. And it's so appropriate because, man, to think it's a coincidence, you'd be fooling yourself. You can draw a line in Sharpie from the time that Mr. Bolin took over ownership of the team.
Mr. Bolin.
To when his health deteriorated, a trust took over, and this operation became rudderless.
Night and day.
It really is. And you can't trick yourself into, yeah, there was like this 35-year history of prosperity, and then you're in the NFL dark ages, and it lines up perfectly with the ownership and Mr. Bolin. It's just the contrast is too real. It's
well, nobody's gonna take care of your stuff like you are. Nobody's gonna take care of that car that you bought like you, or take care of your kids that you brought in the world like you guys were. Your wife will.
Totally.
You start to have other people's hands in the pot helping you out, things start going haywire. Things are never gonna be done how they're supposed to be done or how you would like it, because you, there's only one you, and how you like it in your head is how you're gonna want it to be done. It's not gonna be done like that. That's the Denver Broncos. Mr. Bolin had a dream. That was his dream.
Yeah.
That's why he bought this place, right? Yeah. He bought this organization. But then when he wasn't there anymore, you know, the dream wasn't there anymore. The vision that he had for this team wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody to kind of stare like, well, okay, what does Mr. Bowen want? And his kids were too young to really understand what he was looking for, what he want, because they were too young at that time.
Yeah. No, it's really well said. And it was Mr. Boland's blood equity, sweat equity that was put into this thing. And you just can't snap your fingers and manufacture that as a part of a trust. And I'm not putting, and I know we're not, what's happened here in Denver on any like one member of the trust.
No, no.
It's an overarching issue that was eroding. Like erosion doesn't happen in one day, one month, 1 year. Like it happens over time, and with enough bad stuff, enough wind, enough water, what was there will no longer be. And dude, quick fun fact, I have to share this. Have you ever seen Niagara Falls?
I have not. I always wanted to, and I was close to it because we used to play Buffalo.
Yeah,
right. And it's over there, right?
Correct? Yeah, yes. That's something that you should do before you leave this earth.
Okay.
Is see the power and majestic nature of Niagara Falls. It is like, it's so powerful. You feel it in your chest. It scares you just how powerful nature can be.
Yeah.
And I'm bringing it up because erosion typically does happen over the course of many, many years. But the ledge of Niagara Falls, literally the power of those falls is so consistent and heavy. It erodes a cliff by a foot every single 365 days.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
So it's just digging deeper.
It's just, it's so much power and mass of the falls falling over the lip of it every second of every day of every week of every month of every year. It just erodes faster than anything that we have on planet Earth. Just a fun fact.
That's crazy.
But it feels like almost that's where the Broncos are at, because the pressure has been so bad above it. It's actually has eroded pretty quickly here. In 7 years, they've gone from a crown jewel to, you know, where we're at now, where they have to get things right. But I'm curious, and I want to throw this out to the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. If you were going to look back at the three biggest mistakes since Super Bowl 50 that led to this moment, what three moments, instances, human beings would you look back at and say, this is how you got here? And I have a list of candidates, and I know that I don't have them all, because what you just said hit me on top of my head like an anvil falling from the sky in a cartoon. Mr. Boland and the deterioration of the owner of the team.
Yeah,
I didn't have that, and that I think definitely deserves to be part of this conversation. But this is what I came up with this morning. And I'll just rattle through them really quickly, and then we can gauge our listeners, and I want to hear your thoughts. Not bringing back Peyton Manning after the Super Bowl. He was not healthy in that final year. And there was just an assumption with the team, well, the defense is so good, playing quarterback for the Broncos, it's so easy a caveman could do it. Brock, Peyton, Trevor, doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. And not trying to get him healthy and bring him back. I put that on the list. The drafting of Paxton Lynch is on the list. Sticking with Trevor Siemian for too long, I put on the list. Hiring rookie head coach Vance Joseph is on the list. Going down the Case Keenum path. Drafting Bradley Chubb over a quarterback. Hiring another rookie head coach, Vic Fangio. Going down the Joe Flacco path. I actually put firing Rich Scangarello after having success with Drew Locke and turning to Pat Shurmur.
I like it.
John Elway staying too long. The hiring of George Payton. The hiring of Nathaniel Hackett, the blockbuster Russell Wilson trade, and the mega deal paying Russell Wilson. Those are just examples that I came up with at my kitchen table this morning.
So these are all examples that are in your head that, like, this is what got us here.
Candidates. They're moments in time since Super Bowl 50, and that's really what I wanted to get to. A look back at the three biggest mistakes since Super Bowl 50 that led us to the moment in 10 days where they have to get it right.
Mm.
Is there one of them that I mentioned there that hits you a certain way?
Well, they all hit me like a ton of bricks. like they, you know, each one needs each other to get to where we're at.
Yeah.
And not in a good place, right?
Yeah.
I think the biggest one was the one we talked about before, Mr. Boland.
Yeah.
Not having an owner.
Yes.
For the whole time.
Yes.
It's like not having a president. and everybody just doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
I think the number two, we got to stay still within the ownership situation. It has to be having Elway here too long. Elway having too many opportunities to mess things up with nobody over his head telling him, yo, you mess up again, you are out of here.
Right.
Put a little bit of pressure. That all of us need some kind of pressure, right? All of us need somebody to kind of guide us in back into, like, you know what? You are not the owner. You're the general manager.
Yeah. But some, like, accountability.
You have to have accountability. That's the biggest word right there. You have to be able to hold people accountable. Those two things right there, that's the start of it, you know? Then you can get kind of trickled down into the players, right? Having Brock, the Brock Osweiler situation, that hurt us deeply. You want to know why? Because it's like, I'm not even going to say bring Peyton back. Peyton was done. He was done. You could tell in his voice that he was done. He was shot. His neck was hurting. His shoulders were hurting. He was just not the same guy anymore, and I think he was just done. It did not matter if Peyton wanted to come back or if they wanted Peyton back. Peyton, I don't think, was going to take another time here and being the quarterback. That's just me.
Sure.
But then having Brock Osweiler, that was supposed to be the guy next in line.
Right.
And that situation not going down well.
Right.
Put us in a bad scenario, in a situation where we're just kind of fighting for our lives and just throwing a net out there trying to catch any kind of fish we can catch.
Yeah. So this is actually the freaking reason I wanted to have this conversation. Not to live in the past, but go back to what can you learn from the past that we can apply to the future here. And that Brock Osweiler intersection of time where the Broncos draft him, they develop him, bring him along.
They groom him up.
Yeah. He's the succession plan after Peyton. But they miscalculated it. They miscalculated it. John Elway miscalculated it. And he ends up in Houston. Now, you'll hear from Cecil, and I'll give him credit for the phrase because it's good and he deserves it. Like, the dirty little word in the NFL is fit.
Mm.
So you can tell me Brock would have flamed out here. Sure. We don't know. So you can hold that opinion. But we also don't know if it would have been successful here.
For sure.
And it was successful here when he was here. When he got to play that Super Bowl 50 season, and there's people that still work here at the station like James Merrillat who believe the Broncos would have gone on to win Super Bowl 50 with Brock Osweiler instead of Peyton. Don't know if that's true, because
I mean, their
it didn't
defense
happen.
Was so high powered, Zach. Like, you're not going to see another defense like that for a very long time. Them, the Legion of Boom,
yeah,
those kind of players.
Yeah.
Like, it's just one of those things that they can single-handedly win you a Super Bowl, which happened that year.
I've also talked with people on the team at that time who say, I don't believe we do win it without Peyton, even though the stats weren't there. You needed him as a compass.
I like it. No doubt. You still need your general there. You still need your leader there.
I like that,
there,
the general. Yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, that's what we're missing. Think about it. Even if Gabe Landeskog was not who he was when he was what was firing on all cylinders, just having his presence there in a healthier way where he could skate around, rough up some people, keep people in line, that goes a long way. Just the energy, just somebody's leadership, the energy. Not everybody could be a leader. That's a skill that either you have or you don't. Okay. And someone like Gabe has it, which elevates everybody. I was reading Coach Prime's book, Elevate, Dedicate,
Dude.
Demonstrate. Let's go.
Dude, no joke. Really good analogy with Gabe Landeskog. Freaking proud of you, man.
Hey, I'm growing up.
A Broncos as analogy that was freaking nails. Yes, yeah. Even though Gabe, you wouldn't draft him in the top three, maybe even top four of the team, he means something that can't be measured on a stat sheet. That's what Peyton meant to Super Bowl 50.
Yeah.
I love it. If you're just joining us, we're you got to know your history, okay? And those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And the NFL draft is 10 days away, and the Broncos have to get this rebuild right. But the question I'm asking is, how did we get here? And we're looking back at the three biggest mistakes since Super Bowl 50 that led us to this moment. The failing health of Pat Bowlen is on the list. And we went through a bunch of candidates. The miscalculation of the Brock Osweiler thing. And let me just get this thought out of my head, and then we'll go to the RamosLaw.com text line. The reason why I think this exercise is good and healthy is not to dwell on the past, but it's about, can you learn lessons that could be used to help guide your future, or at least use as a reference point. I think the Broncos potentially miscalculated this draft. I do. And started talking about that with you last week.
Yeah.
I believe JJ is Sean's guy. We'll see what happens in time. But I believe when Sean said those arrogant comments at the Super Bowl at the time, JJ was not even barely a first-round pick. And I think that he feels like he could have got him at 12. The draft process gets underway, and now he's to a place that you can't get. And so miscalculating the Brock Osweiler thing, I think in a way different way, could have been happening these last 3 months for the Broncos, another miscalculation at the quarterback position. What's the RamosLaw.com text line saying, Kamaje?
All right, from the 720-936 number one, this is the consensus number one up and down the text line. John Elway. John Elway was the demise on the other side of the Super Bowl in regards to how we picked, how we treated players, how we didn't sign players, getting in over his head. Number two, and this is a surprising one, not trading Von Miller after the 2016 season.
Oh, my.
And number three, John Elway refusing to hire Kyle Shanahan.
Ooh, that's a good one, that last one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That was not on my list. See, this is why I wanted to tap into our audience, because I'm just at my kitchen table banging up these candidates. And if you missed them, we went through them earlier in the segment. Ooh, not hiring Kyle. Not hiring Kyle. And Kyle was on the record saying it'd be a dream come true to be hired as the Broncos head coach.
The family bloodline continues here. You know, it was fitting for that to happen. You know, like, it was supposed to happen, supposedly.
It was set up for it.
It was. It was. And John got in his own way. John got in his own way. And you know why? Because when there's nobody there to hold you accountable, to tell you, you know what, you're wrong, and you have too many yes men in that building, it's not a good recipe. It's a recipe for a disaster.
And there's a bunch of theories to why that took place, the Kyle Shanahan thing.
Mm.
And we are in the weeds a little bit, but I love it because that's a really good one. There's thought out there that actually Woody Page put this out here within the last year, the legendary Woody Page. Shout out. He said that John was locked into Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
And Kyle was not in favor of drafting Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
And that was the first split, because you're disagreeing on who's going to play quarterback. And John played quarterback.
See, that's the issue, though. Like, why do you want somebody that, like, it would be interesting to say, hey, this is who I like. I like Paxton. Who do you like? And him come back and say, I'm not really liking Paxton. Because now it's like, why? Because maybe I'm missing something. Get a different point of view of why you don't like him.
Yeah.
That makes it a little different. So, okay, do I really like this man?
Yeah.
But instead, you decide to shoo him away because he's not on board with what your dream is or what you think of Paxton Lynch. That's an issue, man.
Oh, and then the domino effect starts to happen.
Then it happens.
And then the domino effect starts to happen because you drafted a tall, strong-armed quarterback who had inaccuracy issues from a smaller conference, and it didn't work out, when you're picking at number five and you have the chance to draft a tall, strong-armed, inaccurate issues from a smaller conference guy named Joshua Allen, you don't do it.
Mm.
So the trickle-down nature of the mistakes, it's painful, and it's been poisonous. For one thing leading to another, bad decision begetting another bad decision begets another bad decision. And so let's narrow this down to the three, because that's how we started this exercise. And if you're just joining us, NFL draft is 10 days away. The Broncos have to get this rebuild right. But we're trying to figure out how the Broncos got here. And we're looking back at the three biggest mistakes since the Super Bowl 50 season that led to this moment. I don't think you can control the Pat Bowlen thing. That's where I'm struggling here.
What do you mean by that?
Because it's not a mistake that his health deteriorated. Like, he wasn't in control of that, and no one made that decision.
See, this is the thing with me, and I don't know how bad it was for Pat when it started happening, but there's always, like, signs of, like, you know what?
Yes.
This is not going to be good for me.
And there was definitely signs, for sure.
And this is when it's like, I have to start getting things in order, right? You always talk about the will and everything else, making sure that when you're gone, they're not fighting. Your daughter and your son ain't fighting over something. It's right here.
Yep.
for Pat, and I don't know who he could have trusted, because it's like, your kids are too young. They're not ready for this. Is there somebody else that you trust that can continue to carry on this legacy that you've built, that you know that at some point is going to get trickled down to your kids, but just not right now?
Yeah.
And my whole thing about that, Zach, is like, did you prepare yourself? Did you prepare everything for this?
Oh, God.
And it's hard to say
this conversation. No, because it, I'll tell you what, man, this whole thing is its own book. It's not even a documentary. There's too much to it. It's a book, because the one guy that he trusted the most was Joe Ellis, who had been with the Broncos forever and ever and ever. But you needed it needed to be in a trust.
Yeah.
So it was three person. And there was two other people within the trust. Their names were Rich Slivka and Mary Kelly, who actually were married. That's not healthy to have a married couple have be two-thirds of a three-person trust. It gets more layers.
And it's sticky when it's money, man.
I know. And then what else is, you said a better plan needed to be in place. The problem is the plan for Pat Bowlen was Johnny Bowlen.
Yes.
Who they had worked up through the organization. I mean, he was working. He did the equipment room. He did this. He did that. Much like Walker Monfort has been trained over the last 10 years being brought up.
Which is what you're supposed to do, right? That's what you want.
If you pass it on your son, you want him to learn how to do the laundry. You want him to see what everyone. And then the problem was is that when it came time, Johnny had issues that I'm not going to dive into right now. Sure. It's just whether it's mental health, whether it's I don't know what it was. A combination of different things, but he became no longer the plan. I'll just leave it at that. So then it's like you have to pivot from that to something else, and it's like...
No, it's sticky.
It is.
You know, it's so sticky, and that's the thing. When you're dealing with a situation where you are the owner, you have millions of dollars, you don't know who to trust, you don't want this to get out outside your family, because this is why you probably did everything, for your family to be okay.
Correct.
You know, but they're so young that it's like, man, it's kind of like I got to write a guideline for you guys so that when I'm done, you guys can kind of follow this and learn as you go. Or I'm going to have to put somebody else in there, which happened with a third party, and then it gets really sticky.
Yes.
Because you're not there anymore.
Right.
You know, daddy's not there to protect everybody.
Right.
You know, so it's hard, man. But the Pat Bowlen situation, it's the stickiest situation that kind of, it was a big impact in a positive way.
Yeah.
But when he left,
I know. Yeah, the
it started.
Yes. Yes. Okay, I'm going to be honest, folks. That conversation took on a life entirely of its own, but I'm glad that it did. I'm glad that it did. Later in the show, I want to circle back to the definitive three things.
We got to.
That led us to this moment where the Broncos are trying to get out of the worst stretch in the history of the organization, at the NFL level anyway, and we're 10 days away from the Broncos. They have to get it right. They have to get this rebuild right. All right, we'll do the mock draft in a little bit. Promise that. Broken promise. Like a politician. Promise something. Going, didn't work out like that. But vote for me again. Listen in the next
Let's
hour.
Let's vote.
All right. This spring, Phil and I are hitting the streets. We're taking our show on the road. It's the Drives Brouhaha. Our first stop is in Edgewater at Edgewater Beer Garden. That is this Friday, April 19th from 2 to 6 p.m., come say hello to us. Head to denversports.com/drive for more details. There was an all-time high moment for Denver sports over the weekend, and there was another Denver sports star who suffered an all-time low moment. That's coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
All right. DU. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
The Pios freaking did it.
Smith in front. Throw.
Matt Davis is out of his mind. The goaltender for DU put on a historic performance.
Are you surprised, though? Are you surprised? I mean, that man was going crazy the whole year, especially in the playoffs.
Yes, in the NCAA tournament. Whoa.
Man, I mean.
How about this? Four goals total given up across four NCAA tournament games.
That's a bad man.
That's a bad man. And here's the thing. Unlike in years past, DU was not the favorite. We're in here watching them against Boston University. BU was what they'll call it back east. We're watching BU, and DU was an underdog. And then you beat them, you pull off the upset, you're an even bigger underdog against a Boston College team that's got like 14 NHL players on it.
Yeah, everybody that was on the ice on their team was going to the NHL.
Dude, they didn't score a goal.
No.
Matt Davis was brilliant, and freaking DU did it.
10 seconds. Steve Bouillon sends it off the glass. Getting there is Jared Wright. Time's going to come. Denver's going to win 10. The debate is over. There is no more argument. DU is officially the greatest college hockey program of all time.
I mean, how cool is that?
That's really cool, man. That kind of gives me chills. Just like, man, how dominant we are here in Colorado.
Yeah.
We're spoiled.
We have it good, Phil.
We
really do, man. We really do. And, you know, in a Frozen Four full of blue bloods, the deepest shade of blue was here in Colorado.
Yeah.
10 natties. That is insane. And how about the captain, one of their captains, Cutter Garthier, before the game, saying this?
It's going to be epic. There's going to be a lot of emotions, you know, and a lot of tears for that team over there. So we're happy and we're excited to get after it.
A lot of tears for that team over there?
That's what? That confidence.
Dude.
That confidence.
There was as many tears from DU as there was goals from BC, both equaling absolutely zero.
One, two.
Dude, Saturday night. Got to talk about it.
Oh, that was some good stuff.
UFC 300.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my God. I said going to the break, there was an all-time high moment for a Denver sports team over the weekend and another for a Denver sports star, an all-time low moment. Dude, our guy Justin Gaethje, who I'm such a fan of, who I bet on.
He's tough, dude.
He is nails. He's tough as nails. Until that last 10 seconds against Max Holloway, oh my God.
Holloway shows some mortality. Look at this. Holloway just told him, stand right here. Oh, the connection late. Oh, what a goal. Gaethje face first on the canvas. Holloway wins the BMF title. Oh my goodness.
They were calling it after the show the greatest knockout in the history of UFC.
It was. And that's the kicker, right? For people that don't really watch UFC or do, right? One, Gaethje got his nose broke.
Yes, he did.
Which kind of hindered him.
With no time left in the first round.
Yes, or 1 second, or whatever you want to call it.
I thought it was like synchronized with the final second.
Yeah, broke his nose.
Oh, my God.
So you already know how you feel now. You're like, dude, I can't get it punched.
Right.
Then he got his eye poked twice.
He did.
I'm like, come on, man. My man just get tore up.
Yes.
But then this was the thing about Holloway. And he's been in the UFC for a very long time.
Legend.
And he does a lot of the stuff he did. He always does, usually. How are you winning the fight?
Yep.
You're winning it.
I know. And you fall into that trap.
Get in the middle. That's just what he does. He's like, get in the middle. I'm going to give you your opportunity. I poked you in your eyes, and we're going to see who really is the bad dude.
Dude.
Epic.
See, okay. If that doesn't happen and it goes to a decision, Holloway was going to be the winner?
Holloway wins.
Okay.
So Holloway had it won.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would just, you know, go around the ring.
Yeah. Just kill the last.
That's not how Holloway does things.
Oh, my God.
If he thinks that he kind of has, you know, cheated you a little bit, he's going to let you, he's going to give you your opportunity.
Dude, I could not believe it. He's literally pointing to the middle, and he did it twice. Like, meet me here.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
Oh, my.
Well, what about the finale, though? Well, Williams and Poirier.
Oh, my God. Wait, no, what was Williams or Hill?
It was Hill.
Yeah.
Hill kicks Poirier. I don't want to mess his name up. Kicks him kind of in the nuts.
Yes, all right? Yes.
The ref wants to check on him.
He's like, no, I'm good.
Sit back here.
Yeah.
Left hook.
Oh, my God. Night. Curtains. Oh, my God. It's an Alex Pereira.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then Jamal Hill, he tore his Achilles like 9 months ago.
Yeah, he did.
And I bet against him. And typically, I'll root for the American if it's like an American against someone. I'm like, no. Not betting against a guy who tore his Achilles 9 months ago. He got destroyed. But I think that night, which is being called one of the best nights in the history of UFC, UFC 300, I think it'll be remembered because of Max Holloway.
Yeah,
and and Justin Gaethje.
Couldn't beat that.
That was insane. I love UFC. I did not used to love it years ago. I was just like, it's just too much. But I was
a little rough for you, huh?
Well, no, it's like it's just yeah. I guess initially it just hit me the wrong way. You know, 10 years ago,
it takes time. It took time for me. You know, I didn't like it either, but now it's like you kind of get into it. My brothers like to do it. I started hanging out with a lot of the dudes at the gym, and then you start to watch and cheer for them, and then you start to be involved in it and like it.
I love it now. I love it. It's fun. Paid for it. And when it got done, I said that was worth it. And I know a lot of MMA people, and we're going to move on here in just a second. A lot of MMA people already know this name. But if you don't, and I don't know much about UFC, but I know enough to know that the name Kayla Harrison is going to be a star in that sport.
She's good.
It was her first fight. She faced Holly Holm. Oh, my God. She's going to be a champion of the world here very shortly. Very, very shortly. All right. Keep it pushing here.
One, two, three.
Masters. Scottie Scheffler. Felt like inevitability. How much Masters did you watch? Were you into it?
You know,
there's no wrong answer here.
I was in and out of it. You know, I wanted to see Tiger do well.
Yeah.
You know, he did get in.
Yeah, he made the cut.
But once he got in there, you know, he didn't do too well.
Yeah.
So once he kind of went downhill, I wasn't as interested as I should have been. I went out there and tried to golf, did not do well.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I was like, how did he got?
On a scale of 1 to 10 being like 10, like really bad, 1 being like
12.
Okay.
Like 12. Let's just put it like that. I might quit. and I'm no quitter.
Dude.
Mama didn't raise no quitter, but man, I was frustrated.
That game will test your face. Like, what am I doing out here?
I wasted all this time.
You know what my least favorite part of the Masters was, and I watched a lot of it, is that when I flipped on the Masters on Saturday morning, I thought I was flipping on the Masters because Tiger's playing.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods is playing Augusta, and you could not get it on television. You have to go to ESPN Plus, which you have to pay for, or get the Masters app, and then cast it to your TV and do this and that. I was just like, how is this good for the sport where Tiger is playing in the Super Bowl of golf and it's not available on television?
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just don't think that's healthy for the sport. So that kind of bothered me, but I really enjoyed it, and I hope you guys did too over the weekend. All right, Fan Flyaway presented by Sport Clips. The Fan Flyaway is back. This time we're sending one lucky listener and a friend to a road game for the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Here's what you get. This is incredible. 2 tickets to a game, round-trip airfare for you and a buddy from Denver to a destination yet to be determined, 2 nights hotel stay, and if that wasn't enough, we're going to hook you up with $500 just to walk around with. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And those of you who already entered a Fan Flyaway contest, you're already part of the club. You're going to be entered. You don't have to do anything. All right? So once you sign up, you're entered in for all future Flyaway contests. It costs you exactly $0 to get involved. All right. The Denver Nuggets cost themselves the 1 seed over the weekend. Now what? That's next. The Nuggets cost themselves the number 1 seed over the weekend. On Friday night, in fact. Now what? Phil, I cannot believe they lost that game against San Antonio on Friday night. It's Monday and I'm still like, How did you lose that?
I always look at it, Zach. I always look at it like they're professionals, right? They're still professionals. I know it's different in basketball than it is in football, but they're still getting paid millions and millions of dollars to go out there and try to win a game. And if you're not all in, like the Denver Nuggets like to be at times, they don't like to be all in when it's spring break. And obviously when it's summer break and you know it's done, they can kind of cash out when you get bored. That's what it looked like. It looked like they got bored, but they did not know when to just put it back in that first gear or second gear. What gear is faster, second, first, or third?
The faster is like fifth, right?
Fifth gear
would be like the fastest. Yeah. If you're in first gear, You're not moving very fast.
Well, even if Denver was in the third gear, they would have won that game.
Yes,
they were
I agree. And it looked like, you know, if you look at like the second quarter, because after the first quarter it was tight. Second quarter, the Nuggets outscored the Spurs just in the second quarter, 37-18.
Mm.
And I think that they just thought that the game was over, that San Antonio would just roll over and die. And then the fourth quarter happened. And the Nuggets were just flat out beat. And you know, you grow up playing sports, and coaches will tell you the phrase, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
And in no way, shape, or form is the nine guys that played for San Antonio, eight of the nine are less talented than the guys who played for Denver. Now, the one outlier is Victor Wembanyama.
Who played?
Who is just, I mean, gosh, Wemby is, he's the guy. I don't know if you, like, if people are still on the fence.
He's a dude, man.
If you're on the fence, you haven't watched enough. I mean, he somehow surpassed expectations. He goes for 35 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and was going right at Jokic in the second half.
Why not? Why not? Like, he has two games. He has nothing to lose. He's a young gun. Young buck. He has to do this so he can learn, so he can see what he's up against. On top of that, it's like, what, it was like Fan Appreciation Day, right, for them,
okay.
I think, for the Spurs.
Yep.
So everybody just out there wanted to put their best foot forward, wanted to get that film out there, and they have nothing to lose. And that are the, those are the scariest teams, and scariest people are the people that have nothing to lose.
You are spot on, man. Devontae Graham, what the hell? he just took over in the fourth quarter. The guy doesn't even start for that team who was missing a bunch of guys. Like, the Spurs were missing guys. Anyway, yeah. Okay, what's done is done. Nuggets don't have the one seed.
How did you feel about it, though, before we leave? Like you were like...
I was disgusted.
But you know that everything's still going to be okay.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, not at the time, because Minnesota hadn't lost to Phoenix. So I'm like, yo, you're really going to be the third seed, and there's a chance... You could be going on the road for game number one in the second round.
Mm.
Like, that's how I was thinking about it. Like, that's not good. But all is well that ends well. That's what they say. All is well that ends well. And Minnesota did lose to San Antonio, or to Minnesota. Denver is not the three seed. They're the two seed. So is it that big of a deal? I don't think that it is. Would you be going on the road to play the Oklahoma City Thunder if they can do the Thunder, what they've never done, and that's win not only their first playoff series, but multiple playoff series to get to that point? Cross that bridge when you come to it. I'd be like, okay, if you're going on the road in the second round, that's different. So I'm not freaking out about it at all. What about you?
No, I'm not freaking out about it. I mean, look, the Denver Nuggets is the team to beat. They've won the championship, held that already. Now they're trying to go back-to-back, try to do it again. I think that they will be focused. I think that they were tired of this season. They were ready for it to be done. All the little accolades, the 80 people staying and playing the 82 games, mm-hmm. Christian Brown being it. Shout out to MPJ for only missing one game.
Incredible, yeah.
You know, and I didn't know the game that he missed was because he didn't have the right shoes.
You know what?
Like, what?
I read that over the weekend, too, and it reminded me because it was a game against maybe the Raptors or someone. I don't know. But I remembered that. Was it Portland?
I think it was Portland.
I honestly forget. But yeah, it's like they couldn't got another pair of shoes.
He didn't want to play. He said, couldn't play in the game. In here.
but MPJ has been so remarkably available. We've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. Like, we don't even talk about his health anymore, which was the biggest question mark facing his career. We don't even discuss it.
Yeah.
He's just been a model of consistency when it comes to his availability. Consistency on the court, man, he just kind of...
back.
Oh, man, he can be maddening.
Kind of back to that 12 points, 14 points a game kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he picks it up, though.
Yeah, he was mostly hard to watch on Friday night. It's all good. They're going to get a week off. I think this week off is going to be massive for this team's psyche, as well as their bodies, excuse me. And this is Michael Malone talking about this coming week.
I think these next couple of days, just to give guys the mental, the physical, the emotional rest, can be really, really effective. And I kind of liken it to our All-Star break. Now, we went into that break with losing three in a row, and we came out of that break, you know, we hit the ground running. So anytime you have that opportunity, I think it's important.
I think it's even more important for this team. It's important for all teams, but even more important for this one.
Yeah, especially a team that's so top-heavy, that relies on their starting five as much as they do, them being a little bit older and knowing that they do need that rest. They're not the oldest team, but you still need that rest when you've been going for a very long time. Jokic, Jamal has been banged up. This is his time to go out there, get like 10 massages. Just don't go to Deshaun Watson's people,
don't
please.
Don't do that. Don't do
please
that.
Please don't.
Don't do that.
You know, come to me. I got some good people for you.
All right.
You know, last time MPJ went off and got some sun, he came back tanner, but better.
Yeah, no, so, you're right. You're right.
I'm excited to see.
I think they're going to kick the door down to these playoffs.
You think so?
I do. And first of all, co-sign everything you just said about why it's even more important for these Nuggets as opposed to just an average NBA team. Also add in, they have the shortest offseason of anyone in the league.
You're right.
They had the quick turnaround.
You're right.
So it's like, get some rest this coming week. Here's a fun fact, and I do believe it's a fun, because the narrative of the NBA through the years has been true, but it's turned here in the last handful of years. The old narrative is, oh, the same teams always win. It's a super team league. Uh-uh, that's not the way it's been anymore. Oklahoma City is the seventh Western number one seed in the last 7 years. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Oklahoma City is the number one this year. Nuggets were the one seed last year. Suns were the one seed the year before that. The Jazz was the one seed the year before that. The Lakers the year before that. The Warriors the year before that. And the Rockets the year before that. So, and that matches championship history. We haven't had a repeat champion since 2017-18. That's a half decade ago. It went from the Warriors to the Raptors to the Lakers to the Bucks, back to the Warriors to the Nuggets. So, fun time right now in a league that just feels mostly wide open. Okay. What am I doing here, KJ, here? Oh, yes. All right. Told you about the brouhaha, but I have to tell you
about... We got so much stuff for our listeners.
We do.
We kind of get all out of place because there's so much things to give away.
We have a lot going on this spring. You want to come hang out with myself and Phil? All you have to do is subscribe to our Denver Sports YouTube channel from now until May 10th to be entered in a chance to come hang. All right, go to YouTube, search Denver Sports, click on the subscribe button. If you win, you get to come have lunch with us, courtesy of our friends at Brothers Barbecue. You're going to get a tour of the station, and you'll also get to watch part of the show live right here in studio with me and Phil and I. Okay, shifting gears here. The Avs will not get out of the first round of the playoffs if they don't fix one thing immediately. And I'm not talking about goaltending. Hang tight, we'll tell you what it is next.